Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Take us up before you now. Bring us in before you now. Let us taste of heavenly things, my King. Heavenly things, my King. You said, heaven is our home, Lord. You said, our citizenship is in heaven. So King, take us up into your place. Show us the way.
To run away from the presence, but the Lord is reminding me, he said that you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. Like, I sought you out. I looked for you. I came looking for you. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And you know, that joy, you know what it was? It was you. He paid a price so he could know you. He paid the price so he could have a real relationship with you.
So don't be afraid, but come on in. Don't be afraid. I have a place for you.
It's in his lap. In his arms. So if you can, I want you to let go of your troubles for this evening. Just push him out the door.
Child of mine, you're mine.
is saying, you know, sometimes in the earth there's trouble, and so we start to judge what we think. If trouble doesn't get fixed fast enough or the way we thought, then we think God doesn't care. But that's not what the Word says. Sometimes He's just waiting for us to look up and not just glance and say, help me, and then go back to the earth. But to gaze upon Him. Fix your gaze on Him. And you know what it says? To not to look at the things which are seen, but to look or gaze or stare at the things that are not seen. Because as you look at Him, these troubles get solved while you're not looking at Him, because He does it then, because now He's got your attention. There's someone here, you had, when you first met Jesus, you had such a honeymoon time with him. It was like you were so caught up in your love for him. It was so wonderful, and then things got busy, and you may have gotten involved in church and business and work. But I feel like he's calling you back, and he's saying, let's have a second honeymoon.
Let's have a second honeymoon, you and me. Let's enjoy each other's presence. I want to take you on the hills of heaven. I want to teach you many things, my sweet child.
And no two items, are alike, but they don't really represent wealth or jewels. They represent gifts. And the Lord is releasing them. I feel like he is releasing things to us. One thing to one person. Another thing to another person. So I ask you, Lord, tonight to release those gifts to your children. These gifts are abilities. I saw one person get something that was, it contained knowledge and information about your purpose. You've wondered a long time about your purpose in life. This person I'm talking to, you've sold yourself short. You have not understood the fullness of what and who God made you to be. And so I feel like he is, I think you can maybe feel the weight of this thing coming on you.
Solamente negro.
Flower, but there's no flower that's opened on it, and maybe a small bud, but in the presence, when you connect to him, in his presence, it's almost like an amazing, you know, miracle girl, because the flower just begins to open so beautifully, like who you are. It doesn't open in the earth. Sometimes we stand on the earth and we ask God to do these things for us. And in a way, he's already done it. He's already ordained it. But when you come into his throne room, when you come into his presence, just to worship, and it can be, it doesn't have to be fancy. It can be just like, Papa, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to talk to you. Really, would you teach me? I don't know what I'm doing, but I do love you. That's powerful. It's like a little child. Daddy, I don't know how to do this. Would you teach me? But it keeps coming back, that thought, and you keep batting it away, like, oh, I don't know if God would ever use me to do that. But guess what? The reason that thought keeps coming back is because it's him. I have ordained, he says. I have ordained certain things in your life. What did I say? He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. No. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He who comes to me, I will never cast out. It makes my of the King. for this, but I'm going to try. Someone here is going to have or is having a Road to Emmaus experience. And you might remember that the Road to Emmaus, Jesus had been murdered on the cross, but he had not been yet raised. Well, he had been, but they didn't know it. And two of his followers were going down the road, and they were so grieved because they didn't know that he was being raised up. And Jesus came alongside, but they didn't know it was him. And he began to talk to them, and he opened the scriptures to them. And then at long last, he revealed who he was. He revealed it. And you know what they said? They said, "Did our hearts not burn within us?" When he spoke, when we walked along the way. Did our hearts not burn? Like there was something about him. Like we didn't know, but something in us kind of knew. Like we didn't get it was him, but there's something about that guy. Something about his presence. Something about when he speaks, when he talks about the scriptures. Like we heard it in a whole new way. And there's someone here you're either having right now or you're going to have a Road to Emmaus.
Release the blood of Jesus Christ over you, over you.
I saw someone being caught up in a real experience when they take communion. You know, it's not just, I saw this person taking communion at home alone, and it was no longer just like, you know, through faith, we take communion by faith and we remember what he did and we glorify him, but I saw like a living experience of communion, like a living experience, an encounter with him. See, God is longing for his people to have encounters. For too long, we've done Christianity by what we knew out of our head. We've done our best. It's not wrong, but this is a new day. And nothing's more pleasing to him than when he really interacts with your heart. And sometimes for that to happen, you have to just say, "Mind, you're very smart, but be quiet. Doctrine, I respect you, but be quiet. My heart is encountering the One."
My heart will be yours.
things the Bible says that you were set apart. And that doesn't just mean walking holy. That means separating yourself from situations in the world, worries, fears, busyness. It means being set apart for Him. It means sometimes leaving some things behind for an hour. Go sneak away. You got a million things to do, but you go, you know what? Nothing is, you know, there's a thing called the tyranny of the urgent, where we have all this pressure that we've kind of, a lot of times we've self-imposed all these things that have to get done, but a lot of times they don't really. And sometimes one form of worship is to say, Father, you are more important than all these to-dos. And you say, oh, but people are expecting me to do this and that. Well, we love people, but there's a time when we say, love you, bye. And we go in and close the door. And He said, if you go in and close the door, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So we're trying to get God to do stuff for us that He already wants to do. And so we've used all these methods and crowbars to get Him to do it, you know. But He actually already desires to help you in your situation. But there's some things that the Father won't budge on. He wants your attention. He wants our love and our attention. And it's really not that hard. We've made it hard, but it's not really. Someone, you've carried all this stuff in your heart, but it's not been healthy. These things are like, they're on the inside of your heart, but I actually saw them like sticking and stabbing you from the inside. They're like old woundings and things you've carried from things people said, some things even from years ago, but I saw you emptying out your heart before the throne and saying, I just can't carry this anymore. And He's saying, oh good, I'm so glad, finally you're going to give me all that junk and I'm going to fill your heart with something better, something that will never hurt you, but it will allow you to walk in peace. Thank you. you're going to find who you really are, and you're going to go, wow, I like me. I never liked me before. This isn't for everybody, but it's for somebody. You know, some of the running we do is people running away because they're feeling like they're not enough. But I see a wholeness coming. This heavy blanket over someone that you've worn for years. You didn't know you were wearing it, but yet you just couldn't seem to break through. You know, a heaviness and a feeling of almost like dread and not enough and never feeling like you measured up. And I saw God so gently just peel that thing off you. That's not your coat. You've been wearing somebody else's coat. And right now we reject that thing utterly. And you knew in your head that God loved you, but it was hard for you to really believe it and receive it in your heart because of this terrible heavy blanket that the enemy put on you, I think, at a very young age. And I saw God peel that away and just blow into you. And you were like, oh, wow, God, he really does love me. I don't have to believe that anymore. I don't have to feel that heaviness. I don't have to carry that terrible weight. I don't have to carry that terrible idea of not enough. I will never carry that again. Be able to believe it because it's true. You know, when we do this, I give these nights to the Holy Spirit. It's one of the things, you know, years ago when I would say, oh, Lord, would you let me, you know, not do these. I used to do these Sunday night meetings, and it was hard because I was still learning. And I could feel the expectations of the people, and I could feel, I never felt like I could, you know, it was scary, and I wasn't comfortable, and I would say, oh, Lord, can I stop doing this? Nobody would say every time, let me talk to my people. I love my people, and some of them can't hear. They're not hearing it somewhere else. Let me talk to my people. Let me interact with them. I see a container of beautiful clear liquid being poured out from heaven to earth. And when I said, Lord, what am I seeing? He said, I want to release again the Acts of the Apostles. I want to release again that outpouring of the Spirit. Someone's, it's like you're almost burning on the inside. You're so like, I want that. I want something more. I always have, but I didn't know how to say it. I see like your heart burning within you. Let the fire of God come upon that one or each one that has that heart, Lord. Let the fire of God come upon them. Let an open heaven come upon them. You've already opened heaven, but we have not been faithful to walk in it because we didn't know how. But it's been there from the day you opened it. So pour it out, Father, along with the grace to understand it and walk in it continually. Let your fire burn. Let your fire burn away and help us release those things that we thought were important and to where we can laugh and say, that was so not important. I feel like there's so much available in this room. And what happens is sometimes people are spiritually savvy so they can receive more. It's not because they've done anything more rightly. It's just that they're more open to the things of God. But we can all become that. We can all become open receivers. To where we're good at receiving whatever God is releasing. If he's releasing a healing, if he's releasing a miracle, if he's releasing a revival, if he's releasing a spirit of repentance, there's nothing more sweet than when God releases true godly sorrow. Because it cleanses you. You know, when you feel convicted about something, don't you never take it as condemnation. God never does that. That's the enemy. But a true spirit of godly sorrow is like a true sorrow inside. Oh, Father, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. But what happens is it cleanses something out of you and it makes room for heaven to fill you even more. That's why I love repentance. It's not for the wrong reasons. It's because it makes room for him to flow the more. Are you not hungry and thirsty to see more? If you've read about these people who've done these things, you say, I want to do that. How come, you know, how come them? You know, and I used to think that they were, you know, specially called, but many, many times, I believe by far most of the times, it's not because they were special people or specially called. It's because they adapted themselves to his agenda, to what heaven was doing. And if heaven moves over here, you know, if heaven's doing something over here, over there, you know, it would be silly for us to be, well, I'm too busy, I've got to do my whatever I got to do, you know. people expect it of me. You know, there's a time to say no. We love people, but there is a time to say no to people. That's for somebody who's like I used to be. I did not know how to say no. I was a people pleaser, and I wanted man's approval, and I was real good at certain things. And so, you know, I knew I could do it for him, and, you know, it might not get done if I didn't do it. That's a trap. Now, if God assigns you to do it, that's fine. That's glorious. But if he didn't, we have to learn how to say no, because it's one of the biggest tricks of the enemy to overload you with all the stuff you think you're supposed to be doing, even good works, come on, even helping the church in 40,000 different ways. It's okay to help the church. We love that. You know, my whole life is that. But if it gets out of balance and that becomes your whole time frame, you don't realize what's happening in the spirit. Satan does, and God does. All the angels do, all the devils do. Everybody in the spirit recognizes it. It's a trap. And what you're doing is going in circles, doing all these things in the natural, maybe even feeling important or accomplished because you did something or you got something done, or bad because you didn't get it done, right? But really what's happening is you're marking time, and that's what the enemy wants. He knows he can't take your soul away from Jesus. He can't get your salvation unless you give it up. He can't do that. But what he can do is waste your life. That's all he can do. So he tries to get your time, your days, your hours, your attention, your focus. It's a trick. It's all a trick. And he thinks it's so funny when we get sucked into the tyranny of the urgent, you know, and what everybody wants. I'm just going to say kind of a bold word here, and this is only probably for one person. But there's a person in here, you have a manipulator in your life. And this person can do and say things, and they do it. And manipulator, it's actually a foul spirit, okay? And we love them. We don't, you know, we love everyone. We're to love and forgive. But when you're dealing with a manipulator, their focus is themselves and what they want, and they know just how to push a button or say a word or craft a sentence to get you to feel like, by golly, you should be doing what they think you should be doing. Now, that's okay if it's true. And sometimes God will say, yes, do that, but if that's you, seek the Lord to learn how to set a boundary that's friendly, kind, but still no, or I'll do that when I have some time. I'll do that, my friend, when I get some time. But until, you know, we have to learn how to guard. We have to learn how to guard and how to steward our life in God, because no one else will do it. There's not a church in the world that can steward your time. No good teaching can help you say no. It's a learned art. And for me, I was like the worst case. I was pathetic because I was so bound by people-pleasing and getting things done for others that my whole world became everybody else's need. Now, that sounds like a good work, doesn't it? And some of that was probably good, but the Lord finally just put a stop, I mean hard stop, to all of it. And he said, we're not doing this. Like, we're done here. And he kept telling me, kept trying to tell me, warn me, tell me. But did I listen? No, because I was a people pleaser. And so what was that? That was idolatry. Everybody say, ow. Idolatry is when you say, I hear you, Lord, but I have these higher priorities. And so it was really the fear of man and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm doing all this stuff from before dawn until after midnight. Well, that's fun for a while, but for a few years, you're a shadow of your former self. You hate your life, and even though you say with all your heart, God is first, in fact, he's last. That's where I found myself. I could say God was first, and in my heart, he was. But guess what? That's not truth. And God was tapping his foot for a while, kindly, tap, tap, tap. And he kept saying, Holly, you better get out of something. You better pull out of something. Well, I don't know what to pull out of. I really thought that what I was doing was his will. Do you ever have a false belief system? And you hear God's voice, but you so believe this other thing is true that you do not obey. Yipes. And that was me. And so finally he went, okay, well, you know, this is something he says to me a lot. Now we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. I have learned easy, okay? I will do this the easy way because I want the goodness of God. Thank you very much. I want favor and I want grace and I like walking with you. Because the hard way, it's not that he punishes you. It's that when you, that's a form of rebellion. There's such a thing as kind rebellion. Ruh-roh. And that was me. And so finally he just put an end to that and basically said, we're not doing any of that. None of it. Zero. How much are you doing? Zero. And then he said this thing to me. I want you to say no, like capital N, capital O, no, to everyone that asks you for something unless I say yes. That was so hard on my flesh because I was so bound by the need for people's approval. So you have to consider, am I really doing a good work or do I really need everyone to think I'm capable or like me because I solved their problem, which frankly they should probably be solving. And it was hard. Oh man, it was hard on my flesh. But for 2 years, he would not let me do anything except hang out with him. I did go to work and come home. Other than that, all I did was spend time with him. And it changed my whole life. It changed the landscape of who I am. And if I had not learned that, I'd still be running around with all that silliness, but I would never have been able to be fruitful for the kingdom. Because what do you do? Wait till you're 80 or 90 to say, okay, now I'm going to do your will? Now I don't have other things? Guess what? That'll never happen. Satan will always provide loud voices and great needs and blah, 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 blah. He's real good at it. Laughing all the way. Laughing all the way. And so God wants to teach us balance. You still do stuff. Once you find your balance, you still get to do stuff for people, but God is really first, and he's not just who you say is first. And when that happens, everything in your life, all your circumstances, all, by the way, your trials, what you've called attack, it goes like this, and it comes into order. Because God is not under obligation to put things in order if you won't. When you're young in the Lord, he'll do it because he's kind. Just like you'd help a toddler in ways you wouldn't help your 15-year-old. You know, when they're 15, you don't wipe their butt. You don't help them go potty anymore unless they're special needs. Otherwise, you should have taught them how to do that. And God is kind of like that. And so if we're contented to stay in diapers forever, he still loves us. He doesn't love us less. But the day comes when he says, we're not doing that. We're doing this now. And he wants to raise us up to be a people that can command, believe this or not, command the kingdom. We become a people that have authority. Authority comes not through knowledge. It doesn't come through head knowledge. Authority, spiritual authority, it comes from a place in him. You know, I was thinking about this today. Someday I'm going to preach a message, Lord willing. And it's going to be called your identity, your purpose, and your place. Because for a long time I've talked about identity and I've talked about purpose. And it took me forever to realize those are not the same thing. Who you are is not what you do. Who you are is not your calling of what you do for others or what you do for the kingdom. And because we don't know that, we strive to do and accomplish, and because that makes us feel important because we haven't really known who we are. But God wants you to know so solidly who you are, And once you know that, often then he'll release, oh, that's great, now let's go and do and accomplish. But here's what I learned, you still can't do it unless you come into your place in the heavenlies. Not going to preach it tonight, but I want you to know the power you walk in, it comes from your location in him. It comes from where you're standing in him. And if you're real shallow in him and always running around and, you know, God doesn't love you any less. He loves you just as much, but you'll never embrace your full identity and you'll never accomplish your full purpose. But as you move in him and as you learn his ways, you know, I'm just going to share something. This might sound a little odd, but when God started making me do keyboard, it was like rubbing a dog's fur the wrong way. You know, you don't usually do that unless you want to tick the dog off, okay? The last thing in the world I wanted to do was play or sing in public. I can't tell you the battle that was for me. That is had been the hardest battle of my entire life. Of all the battles, I've had a lot of battles. And a lot that looked much tougher, but that right there, that was tough. But I noticed back in, some of you were there in the days when we went to Crystal Lake every Saturday. And I was bumbling around. I knew like three chords. I mean, seriously, I knew three chords, you know. Dun, 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 you know. And so I would find the simplest songs you could ever find that had three chords, and I would play them really slow. People were like, why is she always playing slow? Because I'm not very good. And if you play really slow, it gives you time to find the next chord. And nobody was on to me. But here's something odd that started to happen. The presence started to come. And I remember I had this thought one day. And the thought was, it seems like whatever level I go to in him, that's the level I can take them to in the presence. But I didn't know if that was true, and I didn't have a scripture for it. It was just this, I wonder. And I may have asked him, I don't remember, but it was one of those, I wonder. And that Saturday night, I played my three chords and my three songs or five or whatever it was, and Anne walked up to me, who, you know Anne. She said, you know, this was God. You know, when you ask God a question, he sends an answer. And Anne walked up and she said, you know, it's like you take us to where you go in the Spirit. And I'm like, ding, 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 ding. God's talking to me. God is talking to me. And over the years, as I've come further and further into him, listen, he's infinite. I'm nowhere near where I want to be, but I'm nowhere near where I used to be. It's a forever journey of going deeper and deeper. But as we go, guess what? We can take other people to where we are in whatever our gift is. And if we don't go there, you know, we call out for revival, but in fact, there's something that has to happen in us so that we can take others there. And that's the longing of the Father. See, he longs to set up his kingdom on the earth. He longs to set up his kingdom. He wants to take every territory that Satan stole, and he wants it all back. He wants it all back. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And so our job is to build his kingdom in the earth. That's our job. That's our job. We'll all do it differently. Well, all our gifts are completely different. Laura will write books. I will sing songs. Lori will preach messages. Everybody has a different way. But here's what I found. The glory of the Lord and the presence of the King and the move of the Spirit flows through your gift, whatever it is. And to whatever place you go in him, that's where you can bring others. You know that song, The Little Drummer Boy, I didn't have a gift to bring, but I got this drum. You know, I can play my drum for him. You know, that contains the glory of God. We're not fancy. None of us are, you know, our stuff, it's not much to offer the King, but if we offer to him and then go into him, in him we live and move and have our being, that's a place. And as you grow in him, believe it or not, you have to take my word on this, but your location in heaven changes. And as you continue to submit deeper and deeper, because it always, honestly, it requires deeper and deeper submission, deeper and deeper. Okay, first I let go of the big stone, the big five. I let go of those. And then a few years go, and then I have to let go of this. And I'm letting go of that. Okay, it's not that you earn it, it's that the doors get smaller and lower. And there's some things you can't drag into certain places in heaven, including self-will, wrong boyfriends, wrong relationship, idolatry, man-pleaser. You can't take that stuff. And so God helps you. He's so gracious. He helps you see it and go, I have a problem. Father, I'm so sorry. I repent. I don't want that anymore. Take that away from me. Next level. And it says that we're seated in heavenly places. That's where you start in the Spirit. When you come into the things of God, you start there. But as you progress, he begins to give you command of greater and greater rules of authority. And if you remain faithful and don't become a hotshot and don't think you're anybody because we're not, and you don't think it's because you did anything right because we didn't, and if you really have that and you know that, then he continues to bring you into more and more levels of authority where you can carry more. One word can resolve huge issues. He wants us to be a people that can come to places in heaven in the Spirit. Now, does it mean it's going to be like, woo, a big encounter? Not always. No, a lot of times you just hear and say, and you do it by faith. But as you continue in this, it becomes a knowing of who you are and where you stand. And you begin to minister from a place in him. And there's never-ending promotion in the Lord. There's always more levels because he is infinite, and nobody on earth has attained what Jesus did. So if we think we know something they start to get moving a gift and they start to think, God loves me because I'm moving in a gift. God must love me. I must have it right. Well, not necessarily. I've seen stinkers that move in gifts. I've seen some real stinkers that move in heavy gifts, but thought they were all that. So they never went any further and couldn't. God went, I still love you. Still letting you move in that gift because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, but you're never going any further. See, it is humility that gets promoted. And so as he gives you something, he watches you steward it. And he watches how you handle it. Do you get in pride, or do you get cocky, or you become a know-it-all, or do you still say, man, I never did anything right? It's Jesus did it all. If God ever uses me, we know it's only him. Because I was there, I never did anything. I can promise you, in the tough times, I didn't do it right. I didn't get it right. He never uses me because I did it right. He uses me because he is righteous. If he uses you to heal somebody, it's not you that did it. It's his righteousness in you. You don't have any except his, but you have his. And his righteousness, it doesn't go on and off like a light when you are perfect or not. His righteousness is 100% 24 hours a day. So God can use you when? 24 hours a day. Because your faith is what he did, not what we did. So I feel like God wants to raise us up, and he wants our loving attention. God has places for you. And you might think, well, she's not talking to me. I am talking to you. Don't make me get up and point. There's nobody in this room that is an exemption.
Right.
He desires you, and it's a very great love. It's not condemnation. There's a very great love. He actually hungers for your presence. We hunger for his, but he hungers for yours. He loves your presence. Even if you don't know what you're doing, which, who does, right? we go and we say, man, Lord, I don't even know how to pray right. Would you help me? Lord, I can't get this lid open. Would you help me? I can't get my door. It's frozen. Would you help me? You know, I don't know how to preach. I don't know what songs we're going to do. I'm not good at this. Would you help me? Would you help me? Would you pour out your grace, which is your ability? Yeah, the answer is always yes. None of us have anything to offer except our relationship with him. And that's what he hungers for. Amen. All right, hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.